Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. An El Paso company film. A man in an open-topped yellow sports car pulls up next to a hitchhiker. She's slim and blonde, wearing skimpy denim shorts and a cropped white t-shirt.
Where are you headed, little lady?
Nowhere with you, numbnuts. Buzz off.
Open mouth, he lowers his shades to look at her, then roars off. Two men come out of a nearby diner.
See you Thursday, you gorgeous thing.
Hey. They spot the blonde.
Picked a beautiful day to hitchhike.
Yeah, well, I got a nice little VW back at Stinson Beach with a cracked block. Hey, you guys wouldn't be going up to Mill Valley, would you?
Hey, Andy, aren't we going up to Mill Valley?
Got a couple bottles of ice-cold beer up there. Be interested.
The younger man raises his eyebrows.
You son of a bitch.
Okay, bye, Lane.
The blonde hurries across the tarmac to join the two men. The younger man stares at her, a big smile on his face. She looks him up and down, then climbs aboard. Andy, the older guy, reverses their brown truck out of the parking lot and they head off down the road. The blonde is perched on the dash of the roomy cab, her back to the windshield, facing the younger man.
How long you been in the Western Gas and Electric Company business?
Can't even remember how long I've been in it. How long I've been in it?
Later, the blonde turns to look out of the front window.
Turning right here.
The truck takes a right onto a dirt track.
I'll climb up this road here.
Andy briefly looks at his partner as they head further away from the main road. Now the truck pulls into a dry, dusty clearing. A line of washing is suspended between poles, and a single-story wooden house is set back against the trees. The blonde and the younger man climb out.
Yeah, I'll be right with you.
Andy slides open the cab door and walks into the bright sunshine. Moving round to the front of the truck, he looks over at the simple wooden house. Then, taking a packet of cigarettes from his breast pocket, he takes in the rest of his surroundings. He puts a cigarette into his mouth and gazes out at the gently sloping mountains standing before him. He fires a match, then lights his cigarette. From behind the house, a figure emerges. A muscular blonde man stands with one hand on his hip, the other holding a pump-action shotgun resting on his left shoulder. He wears a suede waistcoat but no shirt, and blue jeans. The man's eyes are a piercing pale blue as he stares intently at the unsuspecting Andy. The menacing stranger's walking steadily towards Andy. On his left hip, a brown leather sheath holds a knife, the gold handle of which incorporates knuckle dusters. He grabs it, clutches Andy round the neck, and jabs the blade into his back. The blonde man's face quivers and his mouth opens as Andy sinks to the ground. Now the man stands facing the door of the wooden house. Andy's partner appears, carrying two bottles of beer. He stops abruptly when he sees the blonde man. With a taut face, the blonde man raises his gun. Now, a hazy San Francisco and the Golden Gate Bridge. Starring Clint Eastwood. The Enforcer. With Harry Gardino. A helicopter flies above the skyscrapers and elevated freeways of the city. Also starring Bradford Dillman. And John Mitchum. The helicopter's yellow, and writing on its landing gear reads, KGO Radio 81. Also starring Devon Bookwalter, John Crawford, and Tyne Daly. Now in a car travelling along San Francisco's hilly streets. A tower from the Golden Gate Bridge is visible at the end of the street. The brown car crosses some tram lines and continues on through busy traffic. The man driving the car is wearing sunglasses. He has a long straight nose and a strong chin. His partner in the passenger seat is older, with a round face. Music by Jerry Fielding. director of photography Charles W. Short, based on the characters created by Harry Julian Fink and R.M. Fink. Screenplay by Sterling Siliphant and Dean Reisner. Story by Gail Morgan Hickman and S.W. Scher. Produced by Robert Daly. Directed by James Fargo.
Hang a left here, Harry. There's a jam up on Bay.
Harry starts to swing left, straight into the path of a car moving up fast alongside him. His partner gives him a wide-eyed look. Harry responds with a wry smile.
Hey, what's with the citizen?
A man is standing on the road to their left. He seems somewhat agitated. Harry stops the car and reverses, then drives over to the man, who's wearing dark trousers and a short white jacket. He hurries onto the sidewalk and looks in through the car window on Harry's side.
Police officer, what's the problem?
Oh, thank God. He's inside. Come on, it's a heart attack.
Right here.
Make room, please. Please move aside. Please move aside. This is an emergency.
Harry follows the man into a restaurant.
Please, please move over. Please give us room. He's a police officer.
Police? But where's the ambulance?
This poor man's had a heart attack. I think he's still breathing, though.
Harry takes off his sunglasses and looks down at the prone body of the man, then starts kicking him.
Come on, get up. Get up. Get up. What are you doing?
Come on. Get up. Come on.
Harry grabs hold of the man's tie and hauls him to his feet. Outside...
Thanks a lot, Harry.
What are you squawking about? You got the free meal, didn't you?
Yeah, but I always enjoy that ride in the ambulance.
Get out of here.
All units be advised that this is a 406.
Harry, it's on all units.
Marvelous.
My old lady's gonna kill me. She's doing a 9 church novena tonight. I told her I'd be home early for supper.
Whilst Harry puts his shades back on, his partner hangs a red flashing light on a hook at the top of the windshield.
Inspector 71, responding to your 406.
They arrive at the scene where squad cars are positioned across a road. Police officers shield behind the cars with their guns at the ready. Harry and his partner walk over to one of the officers.
What's going on? A couple of bastards held up at liquor store.
One of our guys stumbled in on it, and they shot him up. They grabbed 4 hostages. They said they're going to start shooting him one by one unless we give him a car and let him go.
And what are you waiting on?
Lieutenant Brannigan, a robbery. He said to stall him until he gets here.
God! Don't let him kill me!
He wants the goddamn car right now!
Harry puts his sunglasses into his pocket and grabs a loud hailer.
All right. But you don't get anything till I come in and talk.
All right, you bastard, lay your piece on the hood of that car!
Harry pulls out a large handgun, a .44 Magnum, and lays it down.
What about me? I'm your partner.
I may have to move fast, and I don't need too much linguine to hold me back.
You got a lot of class, Harry.
Harry walks calmly across the street towards the liquor store. His partner pulls out his gun and takes up a position behind the squad car. Harry, in a pale blue shirt, dark tie and grey jacket, continues to walk at a steady pace towards the store. The robber, a young man with dark hair wielding a shotgun, has the female hostage held by her long hair.
You get cute? I feel this nice lady all over you. Let's go.
He backs into the shade of the store. Harry follows.
On the floor, fucker.
Oh, for God's sakes, Mr. Dulac, he says...
This is my best support, Jack.
I said get your ass on the floor, you dirty son of a bitch. Spread eagle. Move it!
A second man grabs the hostage as Harry gets down, and a third rushes over.
San Francisco's finest. Mitch.
Mitch frisks the prone Harry for weapons.
Roll him over.
Mitch turns Harry over, face up.
It's clear. Here's the story. First, we want all the pigs out of here. Second, we want a car with a police radio. Deliver it right out there in front. We're taking two hostages. Both the women. You don't do exactly what I tell you, you blow their fucking heads off. You got the picture?
Yeah.
But what are you waiting for?
Harry gets to his feet. The head robber shoves the shotgun into the back of his neck, then kicks him.
Run, jive-ass bastard!
Harry walks, looking over his shoulder at the young man who keeps his gun aimed at Harry's back.
What do they want?
They want a car.
Harry picks up his gun.
What are you going to do?
Give him one.
Harry reverses. Then, speeding through the line of squad cars, he screeches round a corner and onto the street. He then spins the car so that it's facing the liquor store. The young robber realizes what's happening and raises his shotgun.
Son of a bitch!
The windshield doesn't break and Harry floors it. The car smashes into the store and immediately Harry leaps out and starts firing. He takes out the gang leader with a shot to the chest. Next, Mitch gets it in the gut and he crashes into shelves of liquor. Harry's partner fires off a smoke canister. Harry emerges, waving away the smoke.
What makes a man crazy enough to join the cops?
You find out, you let me know, huh?
14,379 dollars.
How can that be?
You want an itemized account? You took out two front doors, one front window, 12 feet of counter, plus damages to the stock, plus one city vehicle totaled. Not to mention three hostages in the hospital, all of whom will probably sue the city.
For what?
Excessive use of force. For your information, Callahan, the minority community's just about had it with this kind of police work.
By the minority community, I suppose you're talking about the hoods.
It so happens they are American citizens, too.
And what about the lady with the shotgun stuck in her ear?
I'm not going to debate this with you, Inspector. I've been on the phone to the mayor twice this morning. He went right through the ceiling over this.
Did you tell him about the meeting?
What meeting?
The meeting right here in your office 2 months ago when you said high priority was run these hoods out of San Francisco.
I never said they used violence.
But what'd you want me to do, yell trick-or-treat at him?
Come on, Harry.
I expect you and every other man on this force to behave with restraint or turn in his resignation. You're on notice, Callahan. This little Wild West show of yours yesterday is exactly the kind of thing this department's no longer prepared to tolerate. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
That's all, Captain. I've got work to do.
But not in homicide.
What?
You've been transferred to personnel.
To personnel? That's for assholes.
The captain looks at him, then stands up.
I was in personnel for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's it. You report tomorrow to the Oral Examining Board. 9 o'clock, on the dot.
Harry storms out. In an interview room.
No, you haven't got the picture. I'm the robber. You're the cop. Now I'm in a market, see? You've just caught me? Dead bang at 2:11 in the act. But I'm coming out, see, and I got a hostage. A kid with a gun at his head. There's no way you're going to take me alive. Now, you've got 10 seconds to make up your mind. Here I come. What are you going to do?
One.
You're under arrest.
Three. Four.
This is a boy or a girl.
Do something. Okay.
Seven. How tall
eight.
Is he?
Don't just stand there, goddammit. Do something.
Bang.
Dead. You're late, Callahan.
Sorry about that. Hello, Cross.
Hi.
All right, Bustanobi. You'll be notified of your grade. We're told to be here at 9 o'clock. We have 50 officers out there to test.
For how many vacancies?
Eight. We have 5 men and 3 women. Promoted to inspector out of this group.
3 women.
Do you object, Inspector?
Now, who might you be?
Oh, this is Ms. Grave, the mayor's staff. She's here to monitor these examinations. This is Inspector Callahan.
Oh, yes, I know something of Inspector Callahan. And I'd like to tell you, Inspector, it is the mayor's intention that this department be brought more into line with the mainstream of 20th century thought.
Just how does he figure to do that, Mrs. Gray?
Well, for one thing, his honor intends to broaden the areas of participation for women in the police force.
That sounds very stylish.
I think he also said something about winnowing the Neanderthals out of the department.
With a stoic expression, he turns his head away.
Well, I guess we better get on with it. Next applicant.
Officer Moore?
Yes, sir.
As you know, this is the final stage in your examination. It's a rather informal test in which we try to get some line on your ability to think on your feet, your reaction to stress and pressure, your ability to apply the law in a hypothetical situation and so on. Okay?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been on the force?
9 years.
What department?
Mainly personnel and records.
Personnel and records, huh?
Yes, sir.
Harry?
Have you any questions for the applicant?
Questions? How fast do you run the 100?
Come on, Callahan. You know how this board functions.
Miss Gray takes off her glasses and throws Harry a look.
All right, I'm sorry. You know that if you make Inspector under the mayor's new guidelines, that you might just be out riding in a police car?
Yes, sir, that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, Officer Moore, maybe you'll tell us all here about your most important felony arrest.
I've never made a felony arrest.
Well, maybe you'll tell us about your best misdemeanor arrest, then.
I've never made a misdemeanor arrest either.
Then what the hell gives you the right to become an inspector when there's men have been out there on the street for 10 or 15 years?
The woman's place is in the home. Is that what you're trying to say?
What do you think this is, some kind of encounter group? I want to know what Officer Moore is going to do when somebody points a gun at her and says, hit the deck, you son of a bitch!
You're just deliberately trying to fail this candidate, aren't you, Callahan?
Well, if she fails out there, she gets her ass blown off.
It's my ass. And, my hard luck.
Except that out there, you're going to have a partner. And if you get blown away, he gets blown away with you. And that's a hell of a price to pay for being stylish.
Miss Gray returns to her seat. Officer Moore holds Harry's gaze.
Are you finished with the questioning, Callahan?
Hypothetical situation, huh? All right, I'm standing on the street corner, and Mrs. Gray there comes up and propositions me. If I come home with her for $5, she'll put on an exhibition with a Shetland pony.
If this is your idea of humor, Inspector.
Officer Moore can't help smiling.
All right, what are you trying to do here, Callahan?
I'm just trying to find out if anybody in this room knows what the hell law is being broken, besides cruelty to animals.
That's a conspiracy under Title 7, Section 182, Paragraph 1 of the California State Penal Code. A conspiracy to commit a misdemeanor is, in fact, a felony. And according to People v. Bashore, 1965...
Yes, that's right. Good answer. Thank you, Officer Moore. You'll be notified of your grade.
She looks at him, taken aback. And as she leaves, she turns her stare towards Harry. He watches her go and nods slightly. Nighttime. And the brown Western Gas and Electric truck from earlier travels along a busy street.
Now, after I take care of the guard and get his keys, we drive to the far end of Warehouse 58. Not open.
Damn it. All right, now that's, I drop you off at that end, at that small door. And then, right, I drive around to the wharf side of the warehouse. You open up that first big door, I drive it in, and back up to the first compound on the right.
Carl Tex.
Hey, man, we grabbed the M16 automatic rifles, right?
Wanda?
Locate and take any explosives. Dynamite, detonators, and any plastics.
Right. Henry Lee?
Oh, man, I tote and I load all the ammo for the M16s. Okay, man?
Mickey.
Locate the law rockets. They should be somewhere in the back of the compound.
Right. That's the most important little item. Tex, are you sure of their location?
pay part. I sweat in that place for 5 years. They're there, I promise.
All right, you guys, now, this is for the people.
Right on, for the people.
Jesus. Spare me.
The truck, which has its orange roof lights flashing, pulls off the main street and stops in front of some high wire fencing. The blonde man who killed the two gas and electric workers earlier slides open the cab's door and heads up to the security office for Pacific Overseas Shipping. He waves at an elderly uniformed guard inside. The guard comes to the fence.
What is it?
Gas company.
What's the trouble?
We got a major gas leak in the area. We got to check out your underground pipes. And for Pete's sakes, don't smoke until we tell you it's okay.
Oh, I won't.
The old man unlocks the gate, and the truck drives through.
Seeping down into your sewer system, this whole damn block could go.
Yeah, right.
Hey, you got a phone I could use?
Oh, yeah, right this way.
He grabs the old guard round the neck and stabs him in the back before letting him crash to the floor. He then bends down over the body and takes some keys and a small handgun. He runs back to the truck.
Let's go.
They head inside the dark and deserted compound. Pulling up briefly at a side door, the blonde man climbs out and waves the truck on. He takes the set of keys and unlocks the door. The truck disappears round a corner, then stops in front of a large metal warehouse door which slowly rises up. The driver looks around nervously. With the door now fully open, the blonde man waves the truck on in. Then he runs to a large wooden gate and unlocks that. The back of the truck opens and the gang jump out. Once they're all out, the blonde man leads the gang inside the warehouse. They start carrying out crates labeled dangerous, high explosives, dynamite. They load them into the back of the truck. Outside, a car pulls up. In the passenger seat is Harry's homicide partner. The driver speaks.
Charlie left the gate open.
Better check it.
They drive up to the security office and climb out of the car. They walk up to the office window and discover that the room is empty. They head up round to the side of the building, and through the wire gate they see the body of the old security guard, Charlie. They rush to his side.
Tony, call a backup. I'm gonna check around.
Frank, watch yourself.
With a nod, Harry's partner Frank pulls out his handgun and heads into the dark. Inside the warehouse, the blonde man wrenches open a large wooden crate and rips away some wax paper wrapping.
Lars rocket.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Lalo, get the rest of these loaded.
Frank's now inside the warehouse and crouches down behind some crates. Henry Lee is loading a crate when...
Freeze.
Frank sticks a gun in his face and emerges from out of the shadows. He quickly frisks Henry Lee, his face fueled with grim determination, then grabs the back of Henry Lee's leather jacket and shoves him towards the rest of the gang.
All of you, hold it right there! Put those boxes down. Are you back there? Stand up where I can see you and drop that gun. Put your hands over your head and freeze.
Slowly, the gang members do as they're instructed, their expressions nervous and tense.
Now, just wait a second, mister.
You shut up and listen. You just blink an eyelid. I'll mail you home to Mama in a box. Now, all of you, against the fence. Now!
They do as they're told, except Mickey. Behind Frank, the blonde man draws his knife.
You too, honey.
Mickey's shot as Frank's gun goes off when the blade sinks into his back.
Oh, Jesus. Mickey. Mickey. Oh, baby, it's all right. I'll get you out. I'll get you home. Bobby, hey, Bobby, help me. Help me get her.
Come on, man. You're just going to screw around and get us caught.
Man, she's all right. We're going to make it.
Forget it. She's dead.
She's not dead.
No, she is. Come on. It's over.
Bobby.
They leave her body slumped over some crates. Now the gang move fast to finish their task. Bobby, the killer, pauses briefly to look down at the body of Frank, then continues to haul a crate onto the back of the truck.
Get it on.
As the tailgate closes on the truck, Frank's eyes flicker open. Bobby looks round at the warehouse quickly before running to the cab. Frank's left lying on his back. As the truck approaches the exit gate, Tony runs towards it holding his gun.
Halt! Police! Hold on fire!
Get the son of a bitch! God damn it!
The truck plows straight through Tony, taking the gate with it.
He said it looked like a regular gas company truck. Yeah. Well, I'm checking with the Marin County Sheriff's Department. Might tie in with those two bodies they found up there last week. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Is it Giorgio?
Well, Irene's in there with him now.
Is that supposed to be some kind of answer?
Irene's just been given the last rites. Get what you can, huh?
I will.
Listen, I'm sorry.
No.
They go into intensive care. Frank's in a hospital bed.
Hello, Harry. He's been asking for you.
How is he?
He's in and out.
Harry looks down at Frank, who has a breathing tube taped to his nose. His eyes open.
I'll smoke a cigarette.
She turns to Harry as she leaves.
It's a war, isn't it? I guess I never really understood that.
Harry frowns, then looks back at Frank. A solemn-looking Bressler stands beside him.
Hey, Harry.
Frank. What happened?
Well, dead bang.
He winces in pain.
Sorry.
There's something you wanted to tell Harry.
Harry, listen. The punk that cut me. I've seen him before.
Where?
I just can't make the name.
Well, where do you know him from, Frank?
That homicide, remember, Harry? The young hooker up in the Fillmore District. Summer 71.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, he was one of the pimps we questioned. We liked him for it, Harry. We liked him real good.
As I recall, we liked everybody north of Market Street on that one.
Yeah, one of the cutesy pie little boy names. Charlie or something. Bobby.
I'll check records. They should have your notes.
He quickly leaves.
10-1, they blow it.
Not this time, Frank. Maybe you better get some rest, huh?
Do you have to go just yet?
Not if you don't want me to.
Thanks, Harry.
He grabs Harry's hand in pain, causing Harry to wince, then raises his head slightly off the pillow.
Kill Irene.
Yeah.
As Harry leaves intensive care, Irene rushes in. To Bressler.
Talk to Records?
No, not yet. That was McKay. We just got a tape from those bastards. I'll see you in my office in 30 minutes.
They see Irene drop her head into her hand.
Code blue, intensive care. Code blue, intensive care.
30 minutes.
Hello,
blowing things up. The People's Revolutionary Strike Force. Remember Fessenheim.
Fessenheim?
Mm-hmm. It's being checked.
It's Revolutionary Strike Force. They on your list?
Nothing.
It's legitimate?
Probably not. This is Lieutenant Bressler in Homicide. Well, what are you doing about those records? What's happening? What do you mean, what records? I talked to you about them a half an hour ago. Homicide. Fillmore District, Inspectors Callahan and DiGiorgio. What are you talking about, a written request? Well, who's got the keys?
Look, I'm coming down there in 5 minutes. You better have those files open, you pencil-pushing son of a bitch.
In Captain McKay's office.
Well, you don't have to make threats.
I'm just telling you, I'm going to nail the guy who carved DiGiorgio if I have to do it on my own time.
That won't be necessary. You've been back in Homicide since 9 o'clock this morning. Didn't Bressler tell you?
No. No, I've been down in records, looking up an old homicide.
Any luck?
Well, I've got 11 names here of known pimps. I think our man's one of them.
Johnson, Maddox, Skidmore. Shall I tell you my instinct on this? Black militants.
Now, it keeps coming up hookers. The girl who was shot in the warehouse is Mickey Lewaleska. She was a known prostitute.
What we've got here is a well-organized group of militants with enough explosives to blow half of San Francisco away, including Law's rockets.
Law's rockets?
Yeah. The Army's going to give us a demonstration out of the Fort Baker firing range in exactly 35 minutes. I'd like everybody connected with the case to be out there. I want you to know exactly what you're up against.
No, I've got too much to do. Besides, I've already been checked out on the Law's rocket.
Your partner hasn't.
Partner?
McKay opens the office door. Sitting in the hallway, Officer Moore stands up nervously.
Oh, shit.
You know, Inspector Moore.
Inspector?
I'll see you both out at the firing range.
Inspector? Inspector? Listen, Inspector, I realize that you were not particularly overjoyed by this assignment. Oh. Because you don't think I'm up to it, do you?
Right.
All right. In that case, I would like to get one thing straight, and that is the fact that I'm a woman. But I consider that fact absolutely irrelevant from now on, because I will not accept, nor do I expect, any special consideration.
Marvelous.
The Law's rocket, to all intents and purposes, a one-shot, throwaway, disposable bazooka. It is a fiberglass tube 45 inches long, 3 inches in diameter, which fires a single projectile that is designed to penetrate armor plating up to the thickness of 3/4 inch. If you've all had a good look at the rocket, I'll demonstrate how it works. To fire the rocket, you first pull this pin, dropping the rear cover, then pull. Your front sight, your rear sight spring up.
Got word from pathology. At noon, they're posting that guard that was killed last night. Check on it.
I'll be there.
Captain?
Go ahead.
Gentlemen, if you'll keep your eyes on that half track, I'll demonstrate how effective this weapon can be.
Moore standing behind the soldier as he aims the bazooka. Harry pulls her out of the way moments before flames shoot out of the end and a rocket blasts through the truck. Harry trudges off up a hillside, then pauses, turning back to Moore.
Coming, Inspector.
Moore glances at the smoking truck, then follows Harry over the crest of the hill. She runs over to the car and gets in. Harry's already at the wheel and starts the car moving even before she has time to close the door. Now, Harry parks the car in an outdoor car park. Then he and Moore get out.
Inspector?
Yeah?
13.5 in my gym shorts.
What?
My time in the 100. You asked me at the Earl's board.
You think I was picking on you?
Yes.
It's nothing personal.
Right.
I just don't think you know what we do for a living at Homicide.
I'll find out.
I hope you don't find out the hard way.
By the way, Inspector, how fast do you run the 100?
It's me.
I meant to tell you how sorry I am about your partner.
It's not the first one I've lost.
Yes, I know. Fanducci in 68 and Smith in 72, but it wasn't your fault.
How'd you know that?
I checked on your records. I don't want to get killed any more than you do. What's the matter?
Black guy with a briefcase. I know him from somewhere.
What, tan suit?
Yeah.
What'd he do?
Can't remember. It's not important.
Inside the coroner's office.
Tell me, you ever been to one of these before?
No.
In that case, I'd like to suggest you sit out here.
Please don't concern yourself, Inspector.
He heads off, and she follows him.
Hello, Harry. Who's the pretty lady?
Huh? Oh, that's my partner, Inspector Moore.
Well, you've missed most of it.
Well, we got hung up on a firing range.
I've got it on tape for you. We've just finished the abdominal cavity.
Yeah, well, I'm interested in the wound.
Well, the entry wound was above the right renal area, between the 9th and 10th rib, penetrating up into the chest cavity, perforating the lower portion of the right lung. There was also damage to some of the other vital organs, pancreas, kidneys, etc.
What kind of a knife was it?
A long, heavy blade. We're going into the skull now. I'd say, an educated guess, it was one of those killing knives, a Marine Corps Bowie or one of those Special Forces Randalls.
Any bruises about the face?
Definite indications that the killer clamped his left hand over the mouth from behind.
Professional.
Textbook. On first examination, no exterior damage to the skull.
As the coroner gets to work, Moore looks disturbed. Moore's face is numb with shock. The shadow of the coroner's blade slicing through the skull is cast on the white brick wall. Harry looks mildly revulsed as he watches. The coroner carefully extracts the brain. Moore and Harry watch with somber expressions.
Subject brain shows no contrecoup type damage or blood clotting. Oh, Jesus H. Christ, Harry. Come here and look at this. It's the damnedest thing I ever saw.
What's that?
Well, it says, Ida Luigi's.
Harry rolls his eyes while Moore runs out of the room. He goes after her. Moore's standing in a cloistered walkway, staring pensively into space.
Welcome to homicide.
Glass doors at the end of the walkway shatter from the explosion. Harry and Moore break into a run towards the doors. Inside, the corridor is filled with smoke.
Excuse me, I'm with him.
The toilet's been ripped apart.
Jesus, Callahan, I was coming down the hall to take a leak when this whole thing blew.
Anybody in there?
The officer checks under the debris.
No, I don't think so.
Where are you going?
I got a group of kids here today, and some of them are missing.
Help them out, will you?
Me?
Yeah, help them find them.
Oh, great. Step out of here.
Well, we were lucky this time.
So you can't even go to the cannon base.
In the hallway, a man greets Harry with a group of children.
Hey, we got them all. They're okay.
Oh, good. Hey, you didn't see anybody go in there before the explosion, did you?
No.
You sure? Black guy with a tan hat and suit, briefcase?
Hey, I did see a guy like that.
Was he a short guy, about 5'1"?
No, this dude was 6 foot.
That's him.
Harry strides over to Bressler.
It was a bomb. I think I saw the guy who did it.
Oh, any idea who it was?
I look familiar.
Now, just a minute. Well, you better check the mugshots.
Inspector?
Honey, do you mind? We're talking. This is very important. You better check the mugshots. We just got another message. This time they're asking for $2 million.
I just saw him.
Who?
A tan suit and a hat and a briefcase.
Where?
Right down here.
What the hell didn't you tell me?
What the hell didn't you ask?
They run back out through the glass doors and along the cloistered walkway.
There he is, look!
Henry, wearing a tan suit and holding a briefcase, is waiting to cross on the other side of the street. Harry and Moore run after him. Henry spots them and takes off down the street. Henry's hat flies off his head as he races along the street, throwing the briefcase into a large garbage can as he runs. He takes out a gun and fires a shot at Harry. The bullet ricochets off the garbage can, and Harry continues his pursuit, drawing his own weapon. Moore opens the garbage can and takes out the briefcase, then runs after them. Henry runs up a steep hill, bumping into a passerby, then dashes into a dilapidated building. He races up a dimly lit staircase, and Harry gives chase. Moore rounds the corner and runs up the hill. Henry runs across a courtyard garden, then up a multi-level wooden staircase, Harry in hot pursuit. Outside, Moore runs past the entrance to the building, then halts, glancing around. She looks into the doorway, then grimaces in frustration and slams the briefcase against the wall. She continues on up the hill. Henry's now running across the roof, while Harry makes his way up the twisting staircase. Appearing on the rooftop, Harry sprints across it, leaping over a narrow gap onto an adjacent roof, his revolver clutched in one hand. Moore runs down the street and spots Harry pursuing Henry across the rooftops. She dashes down a steep hill, inertia suddenly propelling her forward. She hurtles on down the hill, while Henry races across another rooftop with Harry closing in behind him. Henry climbs up a fire escape and onto the roof of a neighbouring building. He tries to pull open a door, but it won't budge. Harry climbs up the fire escape, aims his weapon, and fires off a shot. The bullet hits an aerial, snapping its mast. Meanwhile, Moore runs into an alleyway and spots Henry about to leap a gap between two buildings. She grapples in her bag for her gun. As she draws her revolver, Henry leaps across the alleyway, quickly followed by Harry. Henry clambers onto an adjacent rooftop and runs across it. Harry takes the same route, scaling down a wall onto a wooden staircase, then racing after Henry. As Henry jumps down onto a lower level roof, he loses balance and falls back to the skylight. Henry startles several naked men and women.
What the hell's going on here?
Henry scrambles off the bed.
What are you doing here?
And fights his way past camera crew and lighting equipment. Harry appears at the broken skylight and jumps down.
Who are you? Oh,
police officer.
The men and women quickly clothe themselves. Henry runs down a wooden staircase. Harry looks down from a landing above, then charges down the staircase in hot pursuit. Henry leaps over a fence, then runs down a street. Harry jumps over the fence with equal vigor, then charges down the street after Henry. In desperation, Henry ducks into a church. Harry chases him inside, then takes a flying leap, and both of them tumble over some pews.
It's been here under arrest.
In the name of God, man, this is a church. What are you doing?
I'm a police officer. This man's under arrest.
Father, help me. I wasn't doing a damn thing. This guy just roused me.
Would it be asking too much to see some credentials, officer?
This guy runs like a rabbit. I'm not about to let him go.
I'd like to see the credentials right now.
You insist.
Harry punches Henry unconscious.
Callahan, Inspector.
Well, Callahan, I think you're a disgrace to this city.
Marvelous.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, hi, Harry. Wait a minute. I'm just talking to... Jesus Christ!
Give him my best.
I'll call you back.
Don't worry. It's been disarmed by the bomb squad. But it's definitely the explosive out of the Hamilton Firearms Works.
Oh, Harry. You know, there are times when I can always stand you as a human being.
What about the punk?
You mean the suspect?
Suspect my ass.
Yeah, well, he isn't talking, but we've got a make on him. His name is Henry Lee Caldwell, and he's a member of a black militant group called Uhuru. Hey, Clouseau, shelve that.
Uhuru?
Yeah, it's run by a guy called Big Ed Mustafa.
Mustafa? Down the Mission District. I thought that guy looked familiar. Where's my partner?
She's in that can.
Oh, yeah, she's been in there since she found out that she was packing this thing in that briefcase all over half of San Francisco.
Harry, do me a favor. Go easy on her. It's her first day, and it's been a damn long one.
Look, she wants to play lumberjack. She's going to have to learn to handle her into the log.
Harry parks outside a large, dilapidated building on a wide, quiet street. Moore's sitting in the passenger seat, looking weary. They get out of the car.
Okay, I give up. What's this?
This is the Fillmore chapter of VFW. Very few whites. I don't suppose it would do any good to suggest you wait in the car, Inspector?
Don't concern yourself, Inspector.
They head into the building.
Well, well, if it ain't the mighty Whitey and friend.
I'm looking for Big Ed Mustafa.
Sorry, honky. She can stay, but you got to go.
Yeah, baby. We're trying to keep up the standards. You understand.
You're not making us feel too welcome.
Oh, you welcome? You're about as welcome as a turd in a swimming pool.
Harry shows them his police badge, and Moore quickly follows suit.
Well, looky here. If it ain't the fuzz.
I'm looking for Ed Mustafa.
You hold some kind of warrant, honky?
What I'm holding is Henry Lee Caldwell.
Hey, well, I never heard of him. Now, let's see how fast you and the lady fuzz can get your little white asses out of here.
What is Henry Lee into now?
A man dressed in a gray robe.
He's been playing with dynamite. You, Mustafa?
Yeah, that's right. Why don't you just come into my office here? Just you.
Don't worry, Pig. We'll see if she don't get lonesome.
Harry glances at them.
Well, that's mighty white of you.
He follows Mustafa into a back room.
Now, gentlemen, before anybody does anything uncalled for, I'd like to take this opportunity to point out to you that I am a police officer, and if you touch me with intent to do bodily harm, that constitutes a felony.
Mustafa pours himself a drink.
Callahan?
Where do I know you from?
You don't. I just know you.
He sits behind a desk.
Now, what's Henry Lee been up to, huh?
Tell me you don't know.
You don't come around here. Not for a long time.
Where is he?
He went white. Why? Did he do something else foolish?
Yeah. He and some friends of his were involved in a ripoff of the Hamilton Firearms.
Yeah, well, I heard about that.
Would you like to buy into that? 4 counts of murder, aiding and abetting?
You've got the wrong number, boy. We don't deal in violence.
What do you deal in?
Waiting.
For what?
Waiting for all you white hunkies to blow each other up so we can move right on in.
Tell me about Henry Lee and these friends of his.
Some patty dudes he met in Vietnam. Why?
Anybody on this list here grab you?
Hey, man, why should I want to help you, huh?
Well, because if you don't, I have to talk to robbery, and they might be interested in some of this elaborate furnishings you have here.
What are you talking about?
Room 401, Fairmont. Rest easy at the Holiday Inn.
Okay, so maybe they're a little warm. I'll tell you what. One of my boys got busted on a possession charge. Now you get him off and forget about my interior decorator, and I'll see what I can do.
asking a lot.
You want a lot. A thing like this can ruin my image.
Well, I'll see what I can do. What about the list?
Mustafa examines the sheet of paper.
Bobby Maxwell. He's the main man.
You know him?
Stone Waste of White.
Where can I find him?
I'll check around.
You do that. Much obliged.
Callahan, you're on the wrong side.
How do you figure that?
You go out there and put your ass on the line for a bunch of dudes who wouldn't even let you in the front door any more than they would me.
I'm not doing it for them.
Who then?
Harry pauses in the doorway.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
It's well decided that if it becomes necessary, we will
always be somebody. If you're through socializing, we do have work to do.
She follows Harry onto the street.
Look, Inspector, if you have some sort of objection to the way I handled myself in there, I wish you'd just say so. I thought I was doing all right.
She gets into the car.
Marvelous.
Harry's car pulls out into the quiet road and drives off along the street. A black and white police squad car rounds the corner and heads in the direction of the Veterans Building. A moment later, another squad car turns into the road and follows after the first. Then a third police car stops in the street and an officer gets out and starts running. The other cars converge outside the Veterans Building. Several officers aim rifles at the entrance to the Veterans Building. An unmarked car pulls up, and Bressler gets out, along with Captain McKay holding a megaphone.
All right, Mustafa. This is Captain McKay of the San Francisco Police Department. I'm ordering you to throw down your weapons and come out peacefully.
Armed police officers scramble around the building.
You are totally surrounded. Mustafa, do you hear me? Come out with your hands raised over your head!
A hand waves meekly from behind the glass door. A policeman opens the door to a holding van, and a moment later, the veterans file out of the building, their hands raised. One of the veterans flicks McKay the finger before stepping into the van. Mustafa pauses to glare at McKay, who glances away with a self-satisfied smirk.
I don't want to seem ungrateful, Your Honor. It's just that I feel it might be a better idea.
Well, I'm still a little confused. Now, you and the SWAT team made the arrest, but yet you want the credit to go to Inspectors Moore and Callahan?
Well, Your Honor, I just felt it might be a better tactic politically. What with the election coming up soon? You know, to show how your new guidelines for women in the police department have worked. Sort of an I told you so situation, if you know what I mean, sir.
Yes, I see. It's an excellent idea. What do you think, Jimmy?
Yes, sir. I couldn't agree more.
You have proved to be quite an asset to the department and to this administration, Captain.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Mayor, the presentation of the commendation starts in 5 minutes. I think we better get going, sir.
Thank you, Jimmy. You know, Captain, off the record, there are going to be some changes in the department after the election. And undoubtedly, you'll figure greatly in my plans.
Well, I'm sure you'll make the right decision, sir.
Well, good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Any comments on the arrest of the black militants yesterday?
Please.
Now, as mayor of San Francisco, I want to make it official. This is one hell of a cop. And here come a couple more.
All right, good morning. Right this way. Lieutenant Bressler, Inspector Moore, would you move along toward the stairs, please? Mr. Mayor, would you join them, Captain
right.
McKay? We're going to have some photographs taken here.
Harry and Moore look uncomfortable.
Is this all right, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, yes, we have plenty
Would you kindly move in just a little tighter?
To Moore.
Here we are, gentlemen. The two inspectors who made the Mustafa arrest. This is Inspector Moore and Callahan. Boys, how about one with the mayor and Inspector Moore? Captain McKay, can you switch places with Inspector Moore?
Sure.
Move in nice and close. And Callahan, you get in there, too. We're ready.
Inspector Moore is one of the first of her sex in the whole country to become a full-time homicide investigator. And we are very proud of her stunning professionalism. All right. Thank you, boys. Thank you very much. Jimmy, do you want to... Let me have some time with these people here, all right?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Could we move off rather quickly to the right?
We'll see each other at the conference. Now, anybody here have the letters of commendation? Jimmy?
Yes, sir?
Who's got the letters?
Oh, right here, sir.
Wait a minute, what's this?
Well, these are some form letters.
Huh?
They'll do. Just so you hand them something for the cameras.
Well, all right. Thank you, Jimmy.
The mayor will introduce you, hand you your letters of commendation, and then you'll each move off to the left, out of camera.
And then I'm going to take this opportunity to deliver a few well-chosen boots in the rear to those people who seem to think the police department has gone to hell in a handbasket under this administration.
2 minutes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Well, ready? Let's go. Let's go.
Harry looks disgusted.
Just 1 minute, Mr. Mayor.
Harry.
Would you mind telling me what these commendations are supposed to be for?
Harry, this can wait till after the broadcast.
No, it can't.
All right, just watch it, Callahan. Well, no, it's all right. The inspector has a right to know what he's being commended for. Specifically, it's for your part in smashing a group of terrorists who are trying to blackmail San Francisco out of $2 million. That's,
look, if you're talking about the Mustafa bus, nobody smashed anything.
What?
In fact,
I made a deal with Mustafa. He was going to help me find out who the people were. Another thing, Inspector Moore and I weren't even there.
What the hell's he talking about?
Doesn't it bother anybody that there were no weapons found, no explosives?
We'll find them.
Meanwhile, the people are still out there, and they're going to blow hell out of half this city. And meanwhile, you're telling everybody how great we are.
All right, Callahan, button your lip. That's an order.
Captain, you want to jerk all these people off, you can, but don't do it with me.
That's it, Callahan. You just got yourself a 60-day suspension.
Make it 90.
180. Give me your star.
He hands over his badge.
There's a 7-point suppository, Captain.
What did you say?
I said stick it in your ass.
Bressler cringes, and Moore looks amused as Harry strides off through the crowd of watching reporters. Moore follows after him.
Mr. Mayor, you're on.
Yeah, I know, Jimmy, I know. Go down there and jerk him off.
Inspector? Inspector Callahan?
Harry keeps walking.
Damn it, Harry, slow down!
Moore catches up with him.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Why aren't you up there getting your commendation?
You don't give up, do you?
Sometimes.
Not you.
What makes you think so?
Woman's intuition. Listen, Harry, if you need anything or if there's anything I can do, access to records or files, anything, call me up.
I might just do that.
Fine. Anytime.
Come on, take a walk.
All right.
A little later, they're strolling through a park.
I was wondering if I'll still have a job when I get back there.
What difference does it make? What do you want to be a cop for, anyway?
Why aren't you married and having kids like everybody else?
Why aren't you?
Nobody in their right mind's asking.
Coitus interruptus.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, coit tower. It's vaguely phallic, don't you think?
I never thought of it that way.
I make up names for things. For instance,
You are cold, bold Callahan with his great big 44. Every other cop in this city is satisfied with a 38 or 357. What do you have to carry that cannon for?
So I hit what I aim at, that's why. 357 is a good weapon, but I've seen 38s careen off windshields. No good in a city like this.
I see. So it's for the penetration.
Does everything have a sexual connotation with you?
Only sometimes.
Want to go have a few beers?
Okay. You've got a lot of nerve the way you talk to the mayor. And McKay.
Besides being wrong, they're stupid. They arrested the wrong guy, but their egos won't let them admit it.
You mean Mustafa?
Yeah. I had a deal with Mustafa.
He put me on to Bobby Maxwell. That's the guy who knifed to Giorgio, I'm sure of it.
Where can we find Maxwell?
Can't. Now with Mustafa busted, can we? Maxwell's a prime candidate. He's a real tough cookie. Was in Vietnam, likes combat. Was finally busted out of the service on Section 8.
Well, we're good citizens. Why don't we post Mustafa's bail?
Not a bad idea. Big question is, will he work with us now?
Want to have a couple of beers?
Why didn't I think of that?
Now they're at the harbor. Harry hands Moore a bottle.
The only thing they had that's any good is apple juice.
Anything's okay.
Here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You like fishing?
I have an Auntie Kate. I'm called after her. And when I was a little girl, she had a kind of a ranch up in Oroville. And we used to fish together. I'd even bait my own hooks.
That what they call you, Kate?
Mm-hmm. That or Inspector Moore.
Well, Inspector Moore, I don't like to get too friendly with partners.
I know. I mean, I understand.
Kate? You know, whoever draws you as a partner could do a hell of a lot worse.
She smiles, and Harry takes a sip of his apple juice. Now, a baseball game. The mayor's sitting amongst the spectators.
Make it pay up, come on, Mr. Ewing.
Mr. Mayor, I think if we want to beat the crowd, we should leave now.
You think so, huh?
You look chicken.
Yeah, you may be right. Well, I'll see you, Carl.
Yeah, you don't have to come back to the office.
All right, take over, fellas.
Take it easy, fellas. Here, you haul into
this.
Thing.
Take it easy.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Hey, nice to see you.
Mr. Mayor,
how's
the battle running from the lake, sir?
Oh, yeah?
Mr. Mayor,
how you doing?
Please come along, sir. Yeah, bye-bye.
Outside the stadium, Bobby gets on a payphone. Wanda's waiting outside another payphone. She answers it.
All right. Talk to me.
He's on his way.
Beautiful.
Everything set?
I'm ready.
She hangs up. Carl saunters past Bobby and gives him the thumbs up. Nearby, the mayor and his aide leave the stadium. Bobby and Lalo watch from a short distance away. Bobby and Lalo get into a van as the mayor is shown to his car. As the mayor's black car drives off, the van discreetly follows. It's dirty, white, and has flame-like markings running along the front and sides. Wanda enters a small office where a man is standing in front of a control panel.
Hi there.
Well, hello there, young lady. What can I do for you?
Raise the bridge.
Raise the bridge? Are you kidding?
When I tell you to.
The mayor's car drives along a busy highway, followed by the van.
I wish we could have stayed. The Giants are going to finally win one.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Mayor. Looks like it's going to end up as a no-hitter. Besides, you do have the testimonial this evening, sir.
Oh, God. Testimonials. never end, do they?
Lalo, give me the taser gun. Carl?
Sitting in the back of the van, Carl extracts a taser gun from a box.
Man, this thing looks like something from a James Bond movie. You sure it'll work?
Carl, there's 25,000 volts in this thing. Even the fat boy's gonna do what we want once we hook him up to it.
He hands the taser gun to Bobby. In the office, Wanda has her gun poised against the bridge operator's head.
Okay, Tex.
The van drives up alongside the mayor's car. Wanda sees them coming and smiles in anticipation.
Raise it.
A barrier falls across the road up ahead, and the van overtakes the mayor's car as the bridge starts to rise. The van comes to a halt at the roadside, while the mayor's car stops in front of the barrier. The gang get out of the van bearing weapons, and the mayor spots them.
What the hell?
Dave, get me out of this.
They fire at the car, puncturing its tires.
Fire at the mayor, goddammit!
Bobby fires a rocket launcher at a truck next to the mayor's car, blowing it up. The mayor's bodyguard gets out of the car and aims his revolver at the attackers, but gets riddled with bullets. They shoot the mayor's aide in the forehead. Then Bobby opens the door and levels his gun at the mayor himself.
Who the hell are you? What do you want?
You.
Leave him, you son of a bitch. I'm not going anywhere with you.
The hell you aren't.
He fires the taser gun at the mayor. Then they drag him out of the car. They carry the mayor over to a ramshackle marine warehouse. Barely conscious, the mayor hangs his head as the gang escort him across a forecourt. They carry the mayor over to the dockside, where Carl is waiting on a speedboat. Wanda places a five-pointed star onto the head of the dead bridge operator. The speedboat roars off over the water.
All I know is we're still trying to get the details, and as they come in, we'll get them to you, all right?
Somebody said the mayor was killed.
Right, that was the first report, and then later we heard that he was kidnapped. We don't know. There's something very heavy going on at China Basin, that's for sure. Oh, yeah, okay, listen, I gotta go. Thanks for calling. You're rapping with Bubba. Go ahead.
The mayor of this pig city has been taken prisoner of war by the People's Revolutionary Strike Force.
All right, everybody's a comedian tonight. Look, this is very serious.
Hey, man, look. I'm leaving a tape of our demands in a phone booth across the street. Power to the people.
Okay, we're gonna do a little music and I'll be right back.
Wanda leaves a cassette tape in the phone booth, then heads off. A moment later, the DJ runs across the street and collects the tape. Harry's playing pool in a bar.
Harry?
What can I do for you?
We've got to talk.
Right ahead. I want all the information that you have in this case, Callahan.
You got him. Black militants, remember?
Come on, Harry, so we were wrong.
I'll handle this one.
No. We play as a team.
As I remember, last time we played as a team, I got the cue stuck in my ass.
Harry, we just got a tape. This time they're asking for $5 million.
Or?
Or they send back the mayor, one piece at a time.
The negotiations are at a crucial point right now. What do you got? Hate the bastards?
Well, mayor's family is loaded. They can afford it.
But the people who were killed, or isn't that against the law anymore?
We're not debating the point. I'm simply telling you, you're out of it.
But you're telling me, is anyone who's got balls enough to grab a hostage, he'll do it, and can walk right away from it.
I'm telling you, you're out of it. And if I hear otherwise, you're finished as a cop in San Francisco. Now, I want every bit of information that you've got in this case, every lead. Is that clear?
May I make a statement, McKay?
Go ahead.
Your mouthwash ain't making it.
Bressler hides his amusement as Harry storms off. Later, Harry's sitting in a children's play park eating some ice cream when Mustafa approaches him.
Callahan?
He sits down, stretching out his legs.
You got any more surprises for me today?
What do you mean?
I mean, are you and McKay gonna throw another one of those paddy wagon parties for me?
Friggin' McKay, he's something with it. Now I want a lion in this revolutionary tank force.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. If you don't give it to me, I'll let it out that you're an ear.
Hey, don't say that. Not even joking.
Who's joking?
You really are a dirty bastard, ain't you, Harry?
The dirtiest.
Word has it that Bobby Maxwell and his chick, Wanda, are running around with these dudes who call themselves the People's Revolutionary Strike Force.
Call themselves?
Oh, yeah. They don't believe in that shit. They're interested in the bread. That's where the head's at.
Where do I find this Wanda?
She's a tall brunette. Works at Tiffany's on Broadway.
Thanks.
Callahan.
Do him in.
Oh, you can count on that.
Later, Harry's walking down the street wearing a black baseball cap and eating an apple. He arrives at a sign which reads, Tiffany's Massage and Sauna, Men and Women, Open Daily. Throwing away his apple core, he heads inside. He makes his way upstairs to a waiting area, where a receptionist is reading a magazine behind a desk.
Hi there.
This is Tiffany's.
Like the sign says.
My name is Larry Dickman. My brother was here last week. Tall fella, balding.
Remember him well.
Has a gold tooth right in front.
That's him. You know what I bet you'd like? I bet you'd like to learn the love tussle.
Well, gee, that sounds swell. But actually, I was looking for a certain girl.
We got a whole bunch of them, honey. Warm and willing.
Her name's Wanda.
Anybody you want.
My brother says she's terrific.
Can I trust you?
Yeah.
What it is $75.
$75?
Of course, that includes... We're not supposed to do this, you understand, because the heat is on. But seeing your brother was here. $75 includes personal instructions in 32 positions of lovemaking.
That many?
$75, you pay me first.
Harry forks out some money and gives it to the receptionist, who puts it in a drawer.
Right this way.
A burly man has emerged from a side room and watches Harry with a stolid expression as he's led down a hallway to a small room where an inflatable doll is lying on a table.
What's this?
You've heard of a tackling dummy. Well, it's the same principle.
I see. For $75, you get to make it with a rubber dolly.
32 ways.
Any objections?
No. Is there one where the man gets on top?
It's 33. Just take your duds off, honey. I'll send your teacher in.
A moment later, a blonde woman enters the room.
Hi there.
You're not Wanda.
These are the brakes. It needs air. You can't hump a limp dummy, I always say. Speaking of limp dummies, don't you think you better strip?
Where's Wanda?
Beats the hell out of me, Tom.
Harry punctures the doll with a lit cigarette, then puts his hand around the woman's throat.
Let me ask you just one last time. Where's Wanda?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, she left here a couple of weeks ago. Well, ask Baczynski. He runs the whole damn street.
Well, where do I find this Baczynski?
Down the hall to the right.
Harry strides purposefully down a dimly lit corridor. Behind him, the woman darts furtively down another hallway. Ignoring a keep-out sign, Harry walks the beaded curtains into a room where elderly women are sitting writing letters and signing them with lipstick kisses. Harry notices writing on a chalkboard which starts with, "Dear Sir, my name is Ingrid," and goes on to explain how Ingrid moved from Denmark to California to get into movies, but had so much bad luck that she's ended up making a Red Hot movie instead, copies of which are available.
That's right, my friends, nearer my God to thee, and that's why Brother Bob is here. Brother Bob is here to bring you near to the Lord, to bring you near to the man, to save your soul. Salvation is where it's at, brother.
Kuczynski, you're trespassing. This is private property. You a lawyer? Yes, seeing you ask, yes I am. Now, whoever
I'm looking for a tall brunette named Wanda.
I want to tell you something, punk. This is a protected operation. Now, you can end up with your balls eating spaghetti sticks.
Trying to tell me you got a lot of clout with the syndicate, huh?
Yeah. Enough to blow you away with one phone call. Now, get the hell out of here.
See what you are to me, little man. You're just a maggot who sells dirty pictures.
When the Burly man appears with a baseball bat and takes a swing at him, Harry's too quick for the henchman, and soon has him pinned up against a wall with punches. The elderly folks scatter in fear of getting caught up in the fight. Harry grabs Paczynski and holds him over a toilet.
Wanda, where is she?
Go to hell.
One more time, Wanda.
All right. She quit a couple of weeks ago. That's all I know. She got religion.
What do you mean?
She's been hanging around that little church down on Garvey.
Later, Harry's watching TV.
Captain McKay, is it true that you've received another ransom tape from the People's Revolutionary Strike Force?
Yes, we have.
Mayor Oren.
We have been assured that he's all right, but of course there won't be any payment or arrangement for transportation until we have seen the mayor with our own eyes.
Then you're letting the kidnappers go?
That is the agreement.
Any idea where they're holed up?
Not yet, but we should be getting one more message this evening. If you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I've got work to do.
Lieutenant Bressler, is it true that Inspector Callahan has been taken off of this case?
The TV's switched off, and Harry shakes his head in disapproval. Moore enters the bar holding a file.
What do you have?
I got the priest. John Boss, Father John, very militant, very big in prison reform. He runs rehabilitation seminars in all the prisons around here, and this is a list of the prisons in the area. This is a list of the prisoners that took the seminar in San Quentin. Bobby Maxwell, never missed a session.
You wait here.
No, wait, Fessenheim. The latest ransom tape mentioned Fessenheim again.
And what does that mean?
Last year, two bombs were exploded at a nuclear plant near Fessenheim, France.
How about that?
Harry heads off with characteristic determination. Meanwhile, Father John's giving Holy Communion.
The body of Christ. The body of Christ.
Harry's kneeling with a glint in his eye.
The body.
Remember me, Father?
Oh, yeah. What is it you want, Callahan?
I'd like to talk to you about Bobby Maxwell.
Then get a warrant.
When Father John turns his back on him, Harry's happy to step aside and wait for him to finish his priestly duties. However, when he heads for the door, Harry intercepts him.
Just a minute.
I thought I made it clear to you, officer. I have nothing whatsoever to say to you. And what right do you have to come in here and harass me in my church?
Is that a confessional over there?
You want to make a confession?
You first.
Harry throws him into the confessional.
Maxwell, God just might forgive you for this, but I...
What are you protecting these people for? You know how many they've killed?
Sacrifices have to be made, mister. These people are at war!
So am I. Dare you pull a gun in the house of God?
If you have no belief in the sanctity of your church.
I don't have time to argue religion with you, boy.
Harry spins round to see a nun dropping to the floor and Moore holding a smoking gun.
Look at her hands! Look at her hands!
Father John rolls the nun, Wanda, onto her back, while Harry takes the shotgun from her dead hand.
Wasn't supposed to be any killing.
she dead?
A quick look from Harry is enough to confirm Moore's fears.
Close my eyes to this. Mother in heaven, help.
You can't close your eyes anymore. Now, where's Maxwell?
Moore steps onto the deck of a boat, joining Harry, who's looking dead ahead from the bow.
Alcatraz.
Place to hole up.
I don't suppose it would do any good to suggest... Forget it.
The gang's listening to the radio.
No further communications have been received since the last ransom tape.
Nothing. You sure Wanda got those tapes to the cops?
Bobby? I don't know. I wasn't with her.
One of the gang, brandishing a machine gun, is standing in a guard tower.
You didn't think she could do it. Why the hell didn't she
do
it?
Now, shut up! God! What the hell are you doing here?
Hey, man, a lousy cup of coffee, all right?
As the boat approaches Alcatraz, Harry and Moore take cover. Moore exchanges fire with the guard.
Jesus Christ, man, get your ass out there!
Carl does as he's told. Outside, the guard's machine gun jams, giving Harry enough time to turn on a deck-mounted water cannon and slowly direct the powerful jet towards the tower. The guard ducks, but the water's force is too powerful and eventually sends him plummeting into the sea. As the gang prepare for battle, Carl moves into a strategic position. Meanwhile, the boat is docked, and when Harry and Moore jump ashore, they hit the ground running. Harry turns a corner and immediately comes under fire. With Harry engaged in battle, Moore is now alone. Keeping her back against a wall, she cautiously descends a flight of stairs leading into a darkened prison cell block. Pausing to survey her surroundings, she gauges the danger, then scampers into the cell block. Harry catches sight of Carl and fires. Carl runs into the prison and Harry gives chase. His gung-ho attitude is contrasted by the more cautious approach employed by Moore, who's checking that the coast is clear as she moves around outside. With Harry closing in on him, Carl heads into a derelict apartment building and slams the door behind him. Reaching the door, Harry checks for an ambush, then braces himself and kicks it in. When Carl makes a run for it, Harry turns back the way he came in an effort to head him off outside. Spotting his target on some steps, Harry aims and fires. It's a hit but not a kill, and the wounded assailant keeps going. Meanwhile, an exhausted Moore needs a moment to catch her breath. Steadying herself, she cocks her gun and edges through an entrance to the prison. On a bank just outside the prison grounds, Harry finally gets his man, hitting Carl with a bullet from his .44 and sending him rolling to his death.
I'm getting far. Get that son of a bitch out of there.
Releasing the mayor from his prison cell, Bobby and Lalo don't notice Moore inching around a corner nearby.
Freeze!
Okay. Now I want you very slowly to put down that weapon and then on the deck and spread your legs.
Are you kidding me?
You laugh at me, you bastard, and I'll shoot you where you stand.
Lalo makes a move, but doesn't stand a chance. Two hits from Moore's gun are enough to put him down.
Let's go, Your Honor. Let's go! Take it very easy. You relax, do just as I say, and I'll get you home, all right?
Yeah.
All right, take it slow. Wait a minute. Here we go.
Moore leads the mayor around a corner, while Bobby returns to Lalo to find him dead. Trying to negotiate their way out of the prison, Moore and the mayor are being hindered by the necessity to take cover every few yards in order to check for hidden dangers. And Bobby's coming after them. Reaching the exit, Moore spots Bobby taking aim at Harry.
Harry, look out!
When Harry jumps clear, it's Moore who feels the full force of Bobby's machine gun fire. Dropping the rocket launcher, Bobby grabs the mayor and forces him to go with him, while Harry checks on the wounded Moore, who's on her back, sprawled out on the concrete.
Oh, Harry. I messed up.
Just fine. Let me get you out of here.
She stops him from lifting her up.
Don't concern yourself, Harry. Get him.
She dies in Harry's arms.
Good God.
While Bobby drags the mare across a stretch of wasteland, Harry gets to his feet and stands over his partner's body. Bobby and the mare are halfway up a guard tower when Harry spots them.
Maxwell!
Harry takes cover as Bobby opens fire, then continues up the tall, rickety tower. Unbeknownst to Bobby, Harry's got the rocket launcher. With Bobby in his sights, Harry waits for the opportune moment to fire. Leaving the mayor on a lower level, Bobby climbs to the top of the tower and desperately fires his gun until he runs out of ammo.
Help! Help! Help!
Help! Help! Bobby notices Harry, but it's already too late. The rocket annihilates the top of the tower and Bobby along with it. When the mayor descends what's left of the guard tower, Harry goes to meet him. Shaken and barely able to move, the mayor collapses in a heap on the floor. He looks up and notices Harry.
Callahan, God, you saved my life!
I'll never be able to thank you. I'll never be able to tell you. There'll be a letter of commendation there for you. Don't you worry. I'll take good care.
Glaring at the mayor, Harry holds up the rocket launcher, then presses it into the mayor's hand and walks away.
Callahan! The chopper's here! Don't you want it?
Ignoring him, Harry keeps on going. With the guard tower still ablaze, Harry returns to Moore, and stands over her. As he looks down on his partner and friend, a chopper flies by overhead.
Demand to release the mayor. The pilot of this helicopter will...